the sermon this morning, following all the singing that we've done, is about singing. I was asked a question that made me think maybe it was time that we talked about this again. It's a good subject. It's something that comes up a lot because through our practice of old things, sometimes we become peculiar in new times. And so often Christians will get the question, why do Christians sing without instruments in our worship? So that's what I was going to talk about this morning. I don't know that in the time I'm allotted I can really do this subject full justice. So I've tried to cover as much ground as I can, as quickly as I can. If anybody wants to discuss any of the things that I bring up in more depth, certainly there's countless additional verses that could be used and countless additional discussions that could be had. So back to this question of why do Christians sing without instruments in our worship? There's a lot of questions that follow that up. Is it because we can't afford them? Is it because we can't play them? Is it because we personally dislike the sound of them? A lot of people who aren't Christians like instrumental music. Wouldn't it help you to grow if you gave them what they liked? Weren't they used in the Old Testament in worship? Where did God say we couldn't use them? So I will go through those questions this morning, and I'll start with the first three. The brethren everywhere I have been around are very good about always funding whatever is necessary in their love for God. As to the question of do we not include them because we can't afford them, money has not been an issue that has ever come up, or it's not been an issue I've ever seen any of the brethren use for why they didn't include instruments in the worship. So I would say that this is certainly not the issue, especially amongst the churches in the United States, which is where I have the most experience. And I would say, from what I know, even in places where people are poorer, they still, when they want, when worship wants to include instruments, they do. Christian or non-Christian, in the poorest places in the world, if they want an instrument, they tend to find one. They may not be as fancy as the ones we use here, but I go back again. I don't think finance is the obstacle, and I know of no individual or congregation that makes that the obstacle. I would take this opportunity to point out this before moving on, however, that it is an obstacle to worship. It may not be an insurmountable obstacle, but it is an obstacle that I don't find imposed anywhere in the New Testament. And that, as an obstacle, there are financial and logistical burdens surrounding it when instruments are desired to be used that are in addition to anything that we find in the New Testament. So I'll move on to our second question, which is it because we can't play them? Is it because we have no instrumental talent amongst the brethren? First, this is, again, not a reason I've ever heard given for not using instruments in worship. I personally know of many talented musicians amongst the brethren. We have talented musicians amongst us here. This, however, is not, to my knowledge, why anyone has avoided the use of instrumental music in worship. Again, I would mention here, though, that the need for musicians is an obstacle that I do not find in the New Testament worship, and the problem faced by many of those who attempt to employ it. I've listened to countless discussions amongst religious worshipers who incorporate musical instruments about some of the difficulties they face in finding people to play the instruments that are expected to have, funding the playing of the instruments. So there's a lot of obstacles that arise surrounding it when it's employed. It does result in many new issues. Can I pay someone to worship? I've heard that conversation had several times where they talk about, well, in order to get somebody to play the instrument, they need to pay them. And when they pay them to participate in the worship, then that causes some issues because other people say, well, why are they being paid to worship God? And other times they can't find a believer to play, so they hire someone who's not a believer, so who's playing in, presumably as part of the worship but doesn't believe in God or love God. It does result in those things. So the other thing is the inability to sing when using particular instruments. I know that, for example, windblown instruments would exclude singing by the individual that was playing that instrument, so that has to be then addressed. Having to resort to hire non-believers and other financial and logistical problems, all these things come up as a result of the initial decision. So when it is utilized, there are a lot of logistical and other issues, even scriptural issues that would then have to be addressed following up on it, that the Bible doesn't lend a lot of help to because it doesn't talk about it at all. Next, as to our personal preference to the sound of instruments accompanying singing, I, again, have never heard, there may be, but I have never heard that being a reason given for including or not including instruments in the worship. Everyone I know personally, all the brethren I know, there may be those that don't, and no foul against them. Everyone that I know personally enjoys some form of instrumental music. There is some sort of a tune somewhere that they like that is instrumental music and voice accompanied, whether that be bluegrass music or whether that be rock and roll or whatever that may be. There are people that enjoy both together, and it's not the sound that is offensive. As a matter of fact, as we will discuss later, we are intentionally setting aside, when we don't include instrumental music, our personal wants and desires in making the decision to worship other instruments. There may be some that prefer to have unaccompanied or accompanied singing as a personal preference. However, as we will begin to discuss, our personal preferences are not the guiding principle in our worship. So what about those outside the church who like instruments? We could use instrumental music to lure them in and keep them. It also may make it easier to create a better sounding service because many have a hard time singing without having an instrument to guide them and to cover the rough edges. This is an argument that's also used for, in the vein of instrument music, what is now modernly referred to as praise teams. So I would take you to Luke 4:8, and I would read this to you. It says, Luke 4:8, and Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So I would begin by saying this, that our worship is not given to please men, but to please the Lord. That is who we are worshiping. That is why we are worshiping. There's some more that we have to say about singing and its effect on those others that we sing with, but the purpose of worship is clearly to please God. We're not attempting to please men in our worship, but God. As to converting the world, consider this. So this idea that by using instrumental music to lure people in and then try to keep them once we get them lured in, that's going to be a tool that we can use. Let's consider this. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reads this, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." People are saved by the word, not their worldly desires. You cannot save a person through luring them. The word saves people. The word, and as we're going to talk about in just a moment, is very important to what we do as Christians and everything we do in converting, in our own conversions to Christianity, in the converting of others, and in our worship. The word is central. The truth is central. And we'll see that many times. I'll touch upon that many times as I move forward. So the next verse I would like to read is Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18, and we're going to read through verse 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any teaching, any admonishment, any address, if you go through and pick these things out from what we talked about earlier, where it talks about addressing one another, it talks about teaching, it talks about admonishment, any encouragement and any truth is all in the Word. And therefore, only in a song where the words reflect the truth. The instrument cannot offer or even enhance the Word or the truth. To argue that an instrument enhances the truth of God is not an argument that's found anywhere in the Scripture. The instrument and its sound can save no one. The idea that focusing our worship on meeting the desires of men will please God is not a thought to be found anywhere in the Scriptures. If you are encouraged by a tune, even. So I thought about that one time. I heard a tune, right? You can hear tunes sometimes with no voice accompanying, right? So you can hear a tune wherever you're at. You hear the melody, maybe even find yourself humming a melody, right? And it may be to a song that's a hymn or something that makes you think of God because you're humming it or you're, you know. The tune is not the thing that makes you think of God. It is your remembrance of what the tune is about. A person who was an alien sinner who had never heard the words to the song and only heard the tune is not going to communicate the Lord to them. It's the words that communicated the Lord to them, and it recalls those words when you hear that tune sometimes. If you are encouraged by a tune from a song, it is your memory of the words that encourage. The words we sing with our voices that we don't have to buy, carry, or pay for. Our voice is given to us by God that proclaim the truth and of which we don't need to be ashamed or attempt to cover or smooth or change with somebody's man-made instrument. As to the use of instruments in the Old Testament, consider what it means to invoke any item or form of worship from the Old Testament. I find it very interesting that many people run quickly to the Old Testament. There is a reason that we call it old. It was replaced. Everything that was not carried over in the New Testament, everything in our worship and practice not delivered to us by the New Testament has gone. Colossians 2:14. I'm going to read several verses here in a row to address sort of that point. Colossians 2:14 says, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Romans 7:1. Romans 7:1-7. "Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in the members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet in the law and not have said, 'You shall not covet.'" Hebrews 9:16. Hebrews 9:16-17. "For where a will is involved, the death of one who has made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive." the Old Testament. Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. The second being the New Testament, what we refer to as the New Testament, right? The Old Testament has been done away with. As Christians, we know that we are not living under it any longer, and that Christ has died and it has been replaced. Many things were not included in the New Testament practice. We could go into great detail and at great length to go through this list, and this list is not by any stretch of the imagination complete, but things that were included in the Old Testament that weren't included in the New Testament: the burning of incense, golden vessels, colorful tapestries, dancing before the Lord, bitter herbs, animal sacrifice, the physical temple, the priest class, and instruments. He kept unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine, prayers, and singing. This was, some people say, an oversight. He meant to bring those things forward. The fact that he didn't mention them again doesn't mean that he didn't intend for us to continue in some of those things, maybe not all of those things, and we must have an argument over which of those things came forward and which of those things didn't, which is where you end up. You end up trying to justify why you want to bring some things forward and other things not. And so I would say to those people this, that this was not an accident or an oversight. And look at the same verses that many quote to use the Old Testament to justify their desired practice. The Lord was always very clear and detailed, which is why they find evidence of what was done. It's because the Lord was being clear and detailed back then about what he wanted done. His pattern for worship was laid out very clearly in the Old Testament. It was very detailed in the Old Testament. Exactness was given from the construction of the ark to the days of worship to the priests, etc. Do not expect me to believe he accidentally forgot to carry over instruments. The same argument could be made for any of the other items. But one might say, not quite. No, he replaced the other items with something new. See, he didn't really get rid of them. He just replaced them with something new. For example, Christ and his sacrifice, right? To which I would reply, yes, he did. That is true. He replaced many of them with something new. Not all, but yes, he did, and that's why we sing. Why was it okay for him to replace other things and change other things in the worship, but not okay for him to change singing? Not okay for him to change the musical instrument accompanying. So we worship God his way. There is no mention of an instrument being used in the Christian worship by the New Testament church anywhere in the Bible. We also know what God thinks about unauthorized worship. Genesis 4:4-7. And Abel also brought, I'll say this before I start reading this, there are numerous, the Old Testament is filled with examples of people doing something slightly different than the way God told them to do it, both in worship and in practice. His reaction is pretty uniform across the board. I'll just give one for sake of time. Genesis 4:4-7. And Abel also brought off the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell, and the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Matthew 15:7-9. Matthew 15:7-9. "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" The one time music is used, Luke 15:25. It's not in that particular area. It's not even talking about worship. It's talking about a party that's being held. A few verses mention pipes and harps. I'll give those. Matthew 11:17. 1 Corinthians 14. Revelations 14:15. But none in the context of church worship, or none in the context of worship by Christians in the New Testament church. Singing is talked about several times in that context. Acts 16:25, Acts 16 and 25, Romans 15 and 9, Romans 15 and 9, 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, Ephesians 5 and 19, Ephesians 5 and 19, Colossians 3:16, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 2:12, Hebrews 2:12, and James 5:13. It's James 5:13 is the final. Singing is definitely something that is used. It's definitely there. It's definitely something that they were instructed to do. It's commanded. In Ephesians 5:19, you can see that. There are examples of Christian singing all through the New Testament, Acts 16 and 25, 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. It is in the principle of offering. When you look at Hebrews 13 and 15, you see it talking about the fruit of our lips. Singing certainly fits within that. On the other hand, in the New Testament, it is silent on playing songs for God. It's not commanded. I can't find any example of it in the early, not even in the early church. Biblically and historically, we see a cappella singing used for New Testament worship, and instruments not being used, not only during the scriptures, but during all the history that we have of the early church, all the way up through the 6th or 7th century. As a matter of fact, the Catholic Church split with the Eastern Orthodox Church over the issue in about the 7th century. So you have not only the Bible's example and the Bible's, which is the most important and the key, but you also have the historical point the other way. As a matter of fact, something we use the term a cappella singing now to refer to singing without instrumental music. It's very common. But the term originally, back in the Latin, it just meant as in the church. That's what a cappella actually means. It doesn't have anything to do with instrument in there, right? So it's odd that we've assumed that as in the church implies no instruments of music. But we have. Why have we? Because that's what they meant by it. When they said in the church, they meant without instruments of music. So the New Testament, as we have just discussed, is not silent on singing. I would go to this. The next question is, so where did God say we couldn't use them? Again, the New Testament is not silent on singing. It is, however, silent on instruments used in worship. So does silence allow freedom to do what we want or prohibit us from doing what we want? The answer in general, and this may confuse some initially, is that silence can do both. But don't let it confuse you. It's fairly simple. When God gives us a way, it is the way. When God is silent on a way, then we must choose a way that doesn't violate any of his ways. 1 Corinthians 4 and 6, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one another, one against another. When it is written, then it is his way. It is the way. We do not argue that God didn't say we couldn't include fried chicken in the Lord's Supper. We know where he has given a way, it is exclusive. We have example and command to worship in song, just as Noah was told to build with gopher wood. Noah followed the way. He did not say to himself, but I am partial to cedar. It smells good. Maybe more people would join with me if Noah was a lonely guy. It was just him and his family. Maybe more people would join with me if I used it because the ark would be more attractive and smell better. Certainly he did not. Noah followed the way. So I'll end with this, a simple answer to a simple question. We don't use instruments because we also follow the way. Thank you for your attention. I know that we haven't spoken about it at great length, but if there's any here who need the prayers of the congregation, who have learned the way through the Word, who know that they have sin, want to be baptized for the repent and be baptized for the remission of that sin, and be added to the Lord's church, we ask you to come as we sing.